CoOptimus.com presents the CoOptiCast.
And welcome back to another CoOptiCast. This is CoOptiCast, episode number 28 for October 4th, 2009. And it is a crisp fall evening here in the Northeast. And Mike and I are here to bring you the latest co-op news and everything else you've come to expect from us. Mike, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right, Nick. Just a little tired.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little edgy tonight. A little stressed, a little tired. It's been a long couple of weeks, but we're still going to have fun, aren't we?
We're going to have a blast because we're recording the CoOptiCast.
Exactly. So, what have you been playing, Mike?
I have been playing when I've had, a chance to play something. I've been playing Halo 3 ODST. I actually finished that, and we started our second playthrough. So I really enjoy it. I see a lot of the criticisms are holding out to be true, but I can deal with it because, for one, they talk about backtracking a lot, and parts of it are an open world game, and in every open world game ever, you backtrack the hell out of it. Yeah. You have to go back across stuff that you've, already played. And, yeah, it would have been kind of nice if they had done, a fast travel or something, kind of like the Elder Scrolls and Fallout stuff, Fallout 3 had. But, I don't know, Halo's combat's so damn fun. I don't care if I fight, a group of guys in the same arena a couple times.
Yeah.
Other than that, tried out the new Left 4 Dead campaign. It's pretty fun. It's pretty difficult when you have to babysit an AI player, as evidenced by, when we finally got a fourth, we dominated.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was difficult in general, just because there's only the two missions, the two levels, but the escape mission was a lot longer, so
yeah.
If you fail it, you have to kind of fight through more of a level than you normally would.
And the levels are much wider. They're a lot more wide open spaces in them, so you tend to have to worry about things coming from all directions rather than just from the front or from the front or the back. Apparently, I'm stuttering like hell this week. But yeah, it's really different. I like the fact that they hide some of the alarm cars and stuff off on the sides. Instead of right in the middle, so, you think, okay, don't shoot this car that's in the middle, but, oh crap, I threw a grenade right next to the car on the side of the road.
Yeah.
They change it up a bit, and I like it. The one big criticism I have about it is that there is ammo everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. We found it was, the trade-off was a lot of ammo, but not a lot of health.
Yeah, but even still... When playing normally, you didn't run out of ammo that often. This is literally you turn around the corner from the last ammo drop, and there's more ammo.
Yeah.
And it may be a concession for people who suck at versus mode or something, but I don't know. It seemed a little off to me.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've been playing the Persona 1 remake for PSP on a PSP Go, which is neat. And Scribblenauts, and a lot of work. A lot of work.
And like That's why said, I'm tired. That game sucks.
Yeah, that game does suck. Graphics are pretty bad. It doesn't control too well.
No. At least there's multiplayer.
Yeah, there's multiplayer. When you can find a partner.
Yeah. So, like you, we played some legendary ODST today, and we decided to smack ourselves around throwing all the skulls on, with the exception of Iron, I think. It's the only one we didn't write.
My personal favorite is... we didn't put on the one where you have to melee to get your stamina back either. But right. We turned everything else on.
Yeah.
And my personal favorite is when a brute can take multiple sticky grenades before dying.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, that and the Wraith. The Wraith, you could plant a grenade on the Wraith and it doesn't kill it completely now.
Yeah, I don't know. This is the first time I've ever seriously taken a shot at doing the Legendary campaign, because Heroic is usually that good balance between difficult and, you know, achievable. You know, the legendary modes have always been something that people co-op, as far as I know, because if you do that solo, you've got quite the tolerance for eating a cheap death when you peek your head around the corner and get sniped instantly.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty fun. Like, it's really goofy, not taking it too seriously. Like, running like little bitches from the pair of hunters in that one level.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And telling you, when I played that on heroic, I had to run, and on legendary, you're like, oh, we should, you know, maneuver around them, try and kill them. Like, I had to run from these on a lesser difficulty level.
Yeah, we tried a couple different strategies on the fly, and then eventually said, you know what, we're going to be little girls and run. So.
And we skipped along quite beautifully.
So, I've also been playing some Batman Arkham Asylum.
Yes.
Pretty close to the end of that. Definitely enjoying it. The voice work, the, you know, the production values on that game are just outstanding. It's really entertaining. But I'm hoping to wrap it up soon because there's a lot of other games I still want to play. I have Wet. I want to blast through that and send that off to you. I have Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 unopened sitting there. I want to check that out. Guitar Hero 5, that's another one I have just sitting there. I just would like to check out some of the songs on that and play. So, hoping to finish up Batman soon. Like you said, I played some Left 4 Dead. I've been playing some NHL 10. I played that for the review, and then I just fire up a game every now and then with the hockey season starting this past weekend. I always get in the mood to play that. Scribblenauts as well, just a puzzle here, a puzzle there. And Rockstar sent over Beaterator for the PSP, and I was messing around with that, and it's kind of interesting. It seems like it could be pretty powerful. Like, you know, if you've ever messed around with any of the sampling programs on your computer, it seems to have most of the features that they do, but it also has this live play mode where you can kind of like mix and match stuff on the fly. And I don't know if it's worth $40, but I think if you're into music and stuff, it's definitely something worth checking out.
You know, you should play Beaterator live on the podcast so we don't have to come up with musical interludes.
You know, I'll come up with a Beaterator song and I will put it in the podcast.
Excellent.
So let's move on to This Week in Co-op and check out the news that's happened in the past 2 weeks. And there's some pretty interesting things, some pretty controversial things. First up, in the true spirit of co-op, Gearbox employee, I think he's a producer on the game. He's a producer or a writer, Mikey Newman. He decided to create his own pre-order bonus for Borderlands. And what he did is he out on his Twitter account, he was like, if you send me proof today that you pre-ordered Borderlands, I will give you loot in the game. I'll play with you on Xbox Live or PC or PlayStation Network, and I will drop some awesome loot for you in the co-op. And so, after I think he had the upwards of over 200 names, he realized he might have bitten off more than he could chew. And when he came into work the next day, Gearbox was kind of like, what the hell, Mikey? You know? But they were cool about it, and I guess some of the other employees are going to help him. And, you know, he's going to go through with it. He had the list. He wrote down all the names of these people he's going to play with.
We have photographic proof.
Yeah. So, and that's pretty awesome. I mean, it's cool to see developers get so involved. And, you know, it's really, we've never seen something like this before where there's almost this one-on-one interaction with the community from developers like that, and because of Twitter. So I thought it was cool.
I think it's pretty awesome that he's doing it. I think he's absolutely insane for doing it.
Oh, yeah.
But... You know, as he said, he might get drunk, so it's more fun. Although, yeah. I think the money quote from the article was that, okay, I'm going to get drunk every night, so it'll be extra fun to play with. I'll probably be trying to hand out loot in ODST or something and not realize what's wrong.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. He's actually the guy that writes those Claptrap episodes.
Ah.
So, yeah, he has a particular sense of humor, for sure. Moving on, and this was the controversial piece of the news. Stardock CEO Brad Wardell revealed the truth about digital distribution in the industry. And the truth was, despite what the forum goers think, digital distribution doesn't hold a candle to what retail sales actually do. Despite how big people think Steam and Impulse and Direct-to-Drive and all the other things are out there, even Amazon. You know, we think of Amazon as not that they do digital distribution, but just an online retailer.
Mm-hmm.
They don't hold anything to the likes of Walmart and other bigger retailers like that. So he laid out some numbers there, which were pretty interesting. And then he went on to talk about PC gaming in general. You know, every couple of years we hear the same, you know, the death bells ringing, PC gaming's dying, dead, you know, bury it, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, he said it comes and goes, and PC gaming does need that central force driving it to compete. You know, if it has to compete with consoles, it would need something like that. Basically for centralized marketing and branding and stuff like that. And he basically called out Games for Windows Live and how they blew it and how they tried to apply console mentality to the PC, and it just does not work.
Yeah, at that point, you're better off playing a console game.
Exactly. You know, so it's a really interesting read. If you're into PC gaming at all, if you've been into, you know, I've been PC gaming for 20 years now, 25 years, and so it was kind of interesting just to see how far it's come and how different it is than people really think. You know, on the forums, people would think that, oh, digital distribution's taken over and this and that, and it's really not the case. There's definitely a market for it, and we're the market, and it's taken over for us.
But I think digital distribution is, you know, it eventually will be the way of the future, and there's a lot of early adopters on the PC crowd, uh-huh. But until, you know, Walmart stops stocking PC games for bargain prices,
yeah,
you know, it's not going to go away. And it's the largest retailer in the world, and I'm pretty sure that it's the largest PC games retailer in the world. Yeah. And, you know, they may stock nothing but, you know, Deer Hunter or, you know, like PopCap stuff, but you know what? People are buying that.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, and actually, it's kind of relative to what's going on right now with, like, the PSP Go and even the Xbox or Xbox On Demand or whatever they're called, the on-demand games. It's a tough sell to retailers because you need someone originally to carry your hardware from the console perspective. Someone's got to sell it. And they don't make a lot of money on the hardware, so they're not going to sell it if they can't make money down the line for continual sales with software or something else to support the platform.
Yeah, I actually have an anecdote about that because this past week I purchased a PSP Go, and I talked to the, you know, GameStop guy, and he was telling me that they only got one PSP Go beyond what was pre-ordered, and there were plenty of people who pre-ordered it.
Uh-huh.
But you know, he was basically saying that GameStop doesn't want to sell the damn thing.
No.
And they will order enough to, you know, meet the demand for it, but they won't keep them on stock as much because, you know, they, other than selling the system and taking the little skim off the top that they get nothing out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even so, the other side of that with, like, the Xbox Live thing, you know, the sell is people want the games to be on there day and date when the retail ones come out. But the concessions that the companies would have to make for that to appease retailers, it ends up not being worth it because there just isn't that big of a market right now for the digital distribution side.
And you still see weird bastardizations of retail and digital distribution, like Patapon 2, they sold a box for it, yeah. But the box was a download code.
Yeah.
Lost in the Dam, the GTA thing, if you bought it at GameStop, it was a box with a download code.
Yeah.
And the other day I was at Target, and I went to my new favorite section of the place. They have an entire aisle of crappy Korean MMO monthly, like, currency cards.
Really?
Yeah. And, every now and then, like, that's where they keep, like, the Xbox Live, points cards and the PSN points cards. And there were a couple of the vouchers for Xbox Live Arcade games. It was the same thing where you rip the little cardboard piece off. Yeah. And, they activate it at the register or whatever. But, you tear it off, you get the code. And they were actually selling these in the same place as the points cards and everything. So, if that's what retailers have to do to agree with digital distribution, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, definitely. Anyway, let's move on. Yeah, let's go to something that kind of came out of nowhere, but apparently it was announced back at...
TGS?
No, it was before TGS, actually. I think it was at the Gamescom there in Germany. But apparently there is going to be a special edition of Resident Evil 5 coming. And now we kind of know what's going to be in it.
And, oh, that's right.
Yeah. So it's going to have, on the PlayStation 3 side, it's going to have the motion control, which they're going to be releasing in the spring.
I have some details about that.
Okay. We'll get to that then. It's going to have the motion control as well as the classic controls. And it's going to have a new, about a two-hour-long episode in it. And that episode is the flashback to, I can't remember the character's name, but basically the castle where...
Chris and Jill fight against Wesker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember the old guy's name. That's who I was trying to think of.
Oswell Spencer.
There we go. Thank you. You'll actually be able to play that. And it's about a two-hour thing. It's still going to have the co-op and stuff that the game had. And so it's going to be a disc on the PS3. The 360 side, it might actually be DLC. And they're not sure about the PC. But the really cool thing about it, and this is something that I would love to see more games do, is... people that own the original Resident Evil 5 and people that own the Director's Cut can play together, just not in the content, the new content. So, it's kind of like that. What happened with like the Fable 2 stuff, where if you bought the new content and you wanted to play co-op with your friend, even if you didn't play that new content, they had to download it. And it was stupid.
It was stupid. I believe I took some photos for the site of exactly what happens if you tried to play co-op with somebody.
Yeah. So, thankfully, this game's not going to do that. You can even, if you decide to pick it up and you already own Resident Evil 5, you can use your existing saves and everything with it. So, bravo to Capcom for that.
So, the PS3 version they're talking about might have... it's going to have support for the motion controller when that comes out next spring.
Yep.
And I was listening to the Giant Bomb podcast the other day, and they were talking about how the control scheme will work. And I have to stop myself from laughing, but the way that the motion controller is going to work with this is you hold a DualShock controller in your left hand and the motion controller in your right hand, and you use the buttons and the analog stick on the DualShock exactly like you're playing a Wii game, except you're clawing an entire controller in each hand. And it's just so patently ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
I seriously, come on, guys. If you're gonna rip off the Wii with your motion controller, rip the whole thing off? I don't know. It seems so stupid to me that they would not come up with some kind of analog attachment for it.
Yeah.
And there, and maybe the old rumor of the DualShock that pulls apart into two will finally come true, and that's what this is for, and that's what this is going to use. But seriously, right now, like pick up a DualShock and hold it in one hand and tell me how comfortable that is.
Yeah, I don't see that being. It's not comfortable with two hands.
Fair point, but
All right, let's move on. And Modern Warfare 2, we scoped out some of the details of the co-op missions doing some deductive reasoning. The community manager, Robert Bowling, said that the game offers 69 stars in co-op, one for each difficulty level, which is normal, hardened, and veteran. So by the matter of division that gets you 23 co-op missions. And today, actually, or yesterday, we got a list of the achievements for the game, and they had a bunch of co-op specific achievements as well. But one of the most interesting things that we learned is one of the mission types in the game is actually like a waves mode, is what they called it, which is going to end up being survival or a horde mode or whatever you want to call it.
Firefight.
Yeah, exactly.
Etc.
So the you know, the mode du jour there is gonna be in that as well. So
it's a good mode. I haven't found a very bad version of it yet. So.
It's an arcade mode. You know, I mean, that's the best way to describe it. It's an arcade mode. You're going for score. It's replayable because of that. So I'm curious to see who's going to be the first company to come out with a standalone thing that's just that, as like an Xbox Live Arcade or PSN downloadable title, you know?
I guarantee you, you're right about it happening as a downloadable title.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone is going to put out a full game like that for retail.
But, I mean, that would be the point to it. It would just be, you know, it would be an arcade game. It's
so. I vote Nazi Zombies as a standalone pack.
Yeah, I would really love to see him do that. So we said it numerous times on this podcast.
I know.
They don't listen to us, Mike. What is wrong with them?
I don't know.
All right, let's move on. And this is going to be one you're going to have to stop your little squealing like a girl when we talk about it, because I know you're going to want to. Yeah, exactly. Valkyria Chronicles sequel will feature co-op play. Yeah. So that is good news all around, because that game was quite the delight to play by yourself. It should be interesting to see how they implement co-op in it.
Especially since it's kind of turn-based.
Yeah, it's that kind of hybrid system.
Yeah, it'll be weird to see, but, you know, I'm thankful enough that it's getting a sequel. Yeah. And for them to put co-op in it is just, you know, icing on the cake.
This was the PSP one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to make sure. Cool. I've been sadly neglecting that game. I played up to, like, the end of the first chapter, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I just haven't had the chance to go back. And it just keeps getting buried deeper and deeper underneath the pile.
I know. It's, you know, it's the fall season.
Curse you, gaming industry.
I mean, in 2 weeks, you know, the two biggest games of the year, as far as I'm concerned, are coming out on the same day.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, ah!
Let's move on. And here's another controversial one we have for you. And this one's from everybody's favorite CEO, Bobby Kotick of Activision. And he stated that Guitar Hero eventually won't need consoles because it's going to go to a plug-and-play device. Basically, if you've ever seen like the little Atari joysticks that you just plug into the TV and things like that, those standalone games, that's how he envisions Guitar Hero going.
And you know what? I say let him, because I can't wait to just see a crappy mall kiosk that just sells Guitar Hero. Like, yeah. The ones that sell the, you know, 50-in-1, you know, NES system, or everything's in the, you know, N64 controller ripoff. It's going to be, there's going to be a Guitar Hero one, and there's going to be a billion Guitar Hero knockoffs next to it.
Yeah. You know, the one thing, though, that was pretty interesting about Bobby Kotick, Kotaku put out a really good article by Leigh Alexander about him, because he's basically the bad boy right now in the gaming industry. He, you know, we've called him Satan on the site. He's not sitting too well in gamers' minds right now. He keeps putting out quotes that put money before everything else. One of the things that I found really interesting about him, I did not know this, he has been the CEO of Activision for almost 20 years. He's been the CEO since he was, I think it was like 30, and he's now 48.
Good Lord.
Yeah, like I had no, because he's really only made waves since they bought in the Guitar Hero franchise that he's kind of been a little more vocal, and you've seen him a lot more. I mean, that's when, you know, Guitar Hero and Call of Duty are the reasons Activision is where they are now, because they became so big, and then now they they've really just milked those franchises to the max. I mean, there's four Guitar Hero music games this fall from Activision alone.
Yeah. And I gotta say, for a guy that's been around 20 years, he needs to have some more pictures taken of him, because I'm really sick of the two that exist.
The one with him with the guitar slung over his shoulder.
Oh my god, it pisses me off every time I look at his smug grin. And his pasty skin.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't see it actually happening in a grand scale where it's a full feature Guitar Hero game that's going to be plug and play. Maybe it'll be like a little miniature version of it, but they need the consoles. They need the console version. They need those sales. It'll never go away, despite what he thinks. And finally, our last bigger news we have is the Dawn of War 2 expansion pack was officially announced, called Chaos Rising.
I would squeal for this, but I think I wore out my welcome for that.
You've overdone your squealing. There's very few details given on it other than a spring release date. It's going to have the Chaos Space Marines as the kind of main enemy, I guess, slash that's what we're looking for. Basically, the items that they will drop can cause your guys to kind of do something different. I wasn't real clear on what it was, but it was like a trade-off. You'll get the super powerful item, but there's some trade-off to the negative effects it has to your guys. You can use your existing squads. They could go up to level 30 now. Yeah, so some good stuff. So we'll be looking for that soon. Speaking of, next week, the survival mode for that comes out. The last... What the hell's it called? Last Stand. Last Stand, yes. So be sure to check that out next week. That's a free download for Dawn of War 2.
We're definitely going to have to check that out.
Yeah,
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, that's the 13th that comes out. Oh, the same day as those other two games you really want. Wow. Time to take off of work and call in sick.
Yeah.
Jeez. So just some real quick ones, and we've kind of... Cup has runneth over here. Halo 3 ODST's one-day sales topped Killzone 2's lifetime sales. Ouch, Sony. Ouch.
That's big ouch, but based on the number of forum flame wars I've seen erupt over this, I think I will just say Killzone 2 was a mighty fine game, and ODST is a mighty fine game.
Yeah.
And it's sad that one didn't sell as well as it could have. However, I'm having more fun with ODST right now, so whatever.
Yeah. If you didn't hear, the Nintendo Wii is now $199.99. And so get your waggle on if you'd like. November 15th, the new Mario Brothers game comes out, and that has four-player co-op. Looking forward to that.
Finally, and Dead Space Extraction just came out.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to have a review up of that, hopefully, end of this week, maybe early next week. And I forgot to do my homework on this last piece, but Halo 3 ODST had 4.2 million co-op matches in the first 24 hours.
And that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. And I'm looking right now, the past... So it's down, actually, since then. So it's been about 2 weeks. But the past 24 hours, there was 2.2 million co-op matches and about 620,000 players. Still pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And Halo 3, just to compare, the multiplayer has 1.4 million players active right now. So people like their multiplayer Halo 3.
I think people just like their Halo, sir.
Yeah, indeed. So let's take a little break, and we'll come back, and we're going to discuss some aggressive behavior.
Grr.
Discuss co-op gaming and how it makes people friendlier, more personable, and it's just a generally all-around good experience. And there's science to prove it.
Science!
Science, yes, indeed, science. So there was a study at the University of Missouri, and what they did is they took some groups of guys, and they played, it's not a co-op game, but they played co-op-ish modes in team-based objective gameplay and deathmatch gameplay. And they mix and match them between friends and then complete strangers, and they judged how they reacted based on that. And what they found is the people that play deathmatch, both against friends and strangers, were a lot more aggressive than those people that played team-based or co-op games with friends. So what that proves is that co-op gamers generally, you know, when they're playing together, they want to work towards that goal together. They're not dicks to each other. Just for the sake of, you know, so one of the things that I think I found since we started the site, and a lot of people have posted in our forums over time, and we've gotten emails and stuff, is that, you know, people say they play co-op because they're tired of the behavior of people in competitive games. And especially this generation, it's been pretty prevalent because of, like, the aforementioned Halo 3 and stuff like that. The Versus Online is just, it's filled with immature, just generally horrible, intolerable behavior.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not even the intolerable behavior. It's that, you know, the fact of the matter is, you and I are of an age group that's nearing, you know, 30. You know, we have, you know, kids, wives, you know, jobs. And the last thing we want to do when we come home is, you know, get teabagged by a 14-year-old. I seriously, nothing yeah. pisses me off more than, you know, people, than kids acting like kids, amplified by the anonymity of, you know, Xbox Live.
Yeah.
And, you know, I much prefer playing with friends, and I'm kind of an insular guy, so even when we do co-op nights and stuff, I still prefer playing with people I know rather than random strangers. Yeah. I mean, you know, yes, we do, because, we make the promise to play with a bunch of people, but still, it's like, you know, that's a little uncomfortable for me. I much prefer, you know, gaming with people I know I want to game with. And yeah. Co-op is really good for that.
Oh, but the thing is, too, and the study kind of proves it, is that even when they were gaming with strangers in co-op modes, they found that they were a lot less aggressive. And I found, you know, even the very first co-op night we did, which was Halo 3, I played with some really young kids that should not be playing Halo according to the ESRB rating.
Right.
And they were really, really nice kids. I mean, some of them were, like, generally thankful that Microsoft and us kind of put this event together so they could find some people to play with and play through the campaign on the harder difficulty levels and get these achievements and stuff like that. Like, people that play co-op are just generally have a better attitude. It's more upbeat. It's not, you know, they don't get as pissed off at what's going on. They just seem to have more fun with what's going on, even if it's something stupid with the game or something bad happens. For example, Raven Squad, right? The game was horrible. It was atrocious. But I played it with random people in co-op and had some really good conversations with them. You know, people discussing how we can make the game better and how they like this concept with it and that, and different ways that the co-op works and doesn't work and stuff. And it was really cool. And I don't think that's something, if you played a bad deathmatch game, for instance, right? If you were just playing Unreal Tournament 3 or whatever, just in deathmatch online, and it wasn't enjoyable, I think you just find people swearing a lot and yeah. cursing at the game.
Well, I think a lot of people kind of understand that when you're playing co-op, being a dick to everybody else is going to make it much harder for you to play co-op in the future.
Yeah.
You know, in social game modes like that, you know, even if you're the guy who is like, you know, I am only going to do the Vidmaster achievements on Legendary in Halo 3, and you better be able to do X, Y, and Z, you know, even the people with that kind of attitude tend to, you know, chill out, or if they're going to be a dick about it, they go elsewhere, which is always nice. Because in a competitive mode, the dick is going to is going to prey upon the people he wants to be a dick to.
Yeah. No, that's true. So, yeah, I just thought it was kind of an interesting study. It wasn't 100% geared towards what we cover in the sense of how they did it, but it does lend some credence to what we've seen just in general from feedback we've gotten from people and just personal experience with playing with people. Like you said, that the co-op nights, you know, what we do is play with these random people and people that are looking to play with other people. And I can only think of one instance where somebody was kind of a little bit rough on the edge, around the edges, and the reason was they were looking for free stuff. Mm-hmm. Right? They, you know, they had thought that we could give them Microsoft points or whatever it was at the time.
Right.
And they were a little bit abrasive about it, but I think above and beyond that, I've had really good experiences with most of the Xbox Live community and the PC nights that we've done too as well. They've been really good.
Oh, definitely.
So, very good. I think that puts an end to that non-debate. So let's move on and talk about some of the upcoming releases, because there's plenty, and there's plenty of big ones in terms of co-op. One, I didn't even realize it was coming out already this week, and again, something else I'm not going to have time to play, is Operation Flashpoint 2 Dragon Rising. That hits on the 6th, and it's for the 360, PlayStation 3, and PC. And there is a four-player co-op throughout the whole game. And it's a, what do you call it, a tactical war shooter simulator thing.
It's like Rainbow Six meets Call of Duty.
Yeah. Looks really solid. I mean, the videos and stuff I've seen of it, it's, you know, I know I sent you a couple screenshots, and I was like, man, this just looks beautiful. Like, the palette they used for the game just kind of, it's like this kind of oversaturated.
It looks like a lot of the oversaturated desert combat shots you see in a lot of films these days.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
So, what else we got? We got, also on the 6th, we have Star Wars, The Clone Wars, Republic Heroes, and that is a two-player co-op game. Now, there's more versions of this than I thought. We only have three listed in our database, 360, PS3, and PSP. But there's also a DS version and a PS2 version and a Wii version. I'm sorry, we have four in our database. We have the Wii one, too. So, I have to see if the DS version and the PS2 version have the co-op mode, but I don't know. Did you play the demo for this? The demo came out back during Gamescom, I think.
I did not, because I saw the Clone Wars CG movie, and I had to take an extra shower for the next week.
I didn't think it was that bad.
I do not want anything to do with anything that bears that name right now.
Oh, I didn't think the movie was that bad.
There is a farting character. Baby Jabba. I'm sorry, that is inexcusable.
So yeah, the two-player co-op in that, there's like there's two modes to it. There's the Jedi kind of campaign, where you both play Jedi characters, and there's also the Clone Trooper campaign. So there's two different total play styles through the thing, and both of them have co-op. Looks pretty fun. Moving on, another one we just added today, I didn't realize was coming out already, is Demon's Souls, which is an Atlas RPG.
Hardcore.
Action RPG.
Hardcore.
And the concept of the co-op in it is really intriguing. Basically, the way it works is when you die, you become a ghost. And to get your body back, you have to co-op into someone else's game and help them in some way or challenge them to get your body back. Now, I haven't read up on it enough to know what happens if you don't have like online access or something to get your body back, if you're just kind of screwed or what, but that's kind of interesting.
I don't know. You might want to ask all the people that have bought the game since the street date was broken and the servers aren't turned on until Tuesday.
Yeah, what they're doing.
Yeah. But it's made by I'm pretty sure it's made by the same group that did Kingsfield, which is also suitably hardcore. So, you know, Every indication I know of indicates that the indications indicate. Wow. everything I've heard says that the fact that the U.S. version comes with the strategy guide is no mistake.
Great.
It is supposed to be like abusingly difficult.
Great. All right, so another good co-op title we got coming out, and this is one that's going to be a big hit at Paleo's annual New Year's party.
Oh dear.
Lips number one hits for the 360, and you're going to have some good ones in there. Like, I know Can't Touch This is in it.
Oh dear.
And I think there's an Ace of Base song in there too.
Oh dear. You know, I'm all for a lip sequel as long as I don't have to hear you sing Umbrella again. Maybe we'll reprise OPP.
Yeah. So that hits the 12th, and then on the 13th you have a pretty solid looking title in Uncharted 2 Among Thieves. And the reviews have hit I think Thursday or Friday this week, and they've just been outstanding. Most haven't talked about the co-op because you know, there's not a lot of people to play with yet. But the single player apparently is just whoo. Did you see the commercial that the Sony put out for it?
I saw the article and I saw the people's reaction or the people's reaction to the commercial, and I didn't watch it because it seemed funnier in my head.
it was pretty well played. So the guy's just like, you know, I had this problem like on Uncharted 2 with my PlayStation 3, but my girlfriend, she thinks it's a movie, and I don't know what to do. And the guy's like, so I don't see what the problem is. And he's like, it's been 2 days now. And then his girlfriend like walks into the room, and she's like this really hot girl with these really short shorts. And the guy's like, yeah, there's not a problem here.
Yeah.
So good stuff. Let's kind of wrap things up here. Some site features in the past couple weeks. We had reviews of Ion Assault, Zombie Apocalypse, The Beatles Rock Band, NHL 10, Buccaneer, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, and we also had our Beyond Co-op reviews with the new swanky graphics done by you.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, cool.
So, I don't even remember. We reviewed
Batman, Wet, Scribble Knots,
Need for Speed Shift.
Yeah, and one more.
Darkest of Days.
Oh yeah, no wonder we forgot about it.
Yeah.
Heyo.
And we had some features as well. We had some co-op couples and The Thrill of the Hunt, and it was a pretty interesting story about Jim's attempt to find a Guitar Hero drum set.
Right.
And co-op classics, we had Halo. And that was actually all the features we had. It was just a ton of reviews.
And yeah, it was. It's going to be a lot of reviews because there's not as much news to report when everything is coming out.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. It's basically release after release after release. So, I will let our man Sam take you guys out with the usual spiel. But that's it. Thanks for listening.
Feedback. iTunes. 5 stars. Do it, or else.